Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from this morning's gospel. Jesus told him a parable saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So far the text. Well, I've been preaching on this text for 35 years, and that entire time I've had ears, and I've had a lot of trouble hearing this text and this parable and trying to really understand what it's getting at. In fact, I'd say, well, it's been 35 years since I've been a pastor. I'd say the lion's share of that. I think I preached not completely wrong, but not completely right either on this text, because it's an intimidating text. When you look at it, you're looking at some bad soil, and you're trying to see how's that going to change. I did read one commentary that put a real positive slant on this parable. Even the part with the birds eating the seeds. The commentary said that, you see, the birds eat the seed, and the seeds work their way through its digestive system, and eventually they go out the other end. And now you have a seed with fertilizer, and it grows much better. Okay, that's not the point that Jesus is trying to make. He's not interested in the digestive system of birds here. The fact of the matter that he's making is that 3 out of 4 of these soils are just bad. So let's look at the seeds and the soil here. The parable and what it's being signified is clear. Obviously, the sower is God, and the seed is God's word, the message of the kingdom, and the soil is us. And so you have the first soil. The seed is cast on the path, and the birds come and eat it up and take it away, and it's gone. And Jesus goes on to describe what that means. He says, well, it's simple. That's when people hear the word of the kingdom, but they don't understand it, and so it's taken from them. The second is the seed that grows on very thin soil, rocky soil. It sprouts up really quickly, and when the sun shines, it goes away because it has no root system. Again, he says these are like when the word comes to people, and they accept it joyfully, and yes, when persecution comes, they wither away. And then you have the third one, a seed that's sown among the thorns. With that seed, Jesus is saying that's where the word of God is accepted and gladly taken and joyfully taken. And yet, when persecution comes, it doesn't hold up. And then finally, you have the fourth soil, which is the good soil. So here you have a problem. We look at the soil that we have here, and we have to ask ourselves, how do we change that? How do we change the situation? Now, I think one big reason why, even though I have ears, as Jesus says, to hear, I didn't always hear the right thing, is I had the wrong understanding about parables. And I've mentioned this before. I, like a lot of people, used to think the focus of parables was us. So in other words, the important part in this parable is not the sower, it's the soil. And when we see things that way, then we have a problem. Then the words of Isaiah come true. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they do not understand. First and foremost, parables are primarily about God. He's the focus. God is the focus of this parable, and that is the sower. And what do we learn about God here? Well, one thing I learned about God here is he's a really bad farmer, right? Nobody 2,000 years ago farmed like this. Okay? I mean, they farm kind of like they do now, except without all the fancy stuff. The seed that they were sowing, okay, is seed from last year's harvest, and it's a percentage of that harvest that they have to hold back. In other words, hold back or they're not going to have it to plant the next year. In other words, it's seed that's being taken away from feeding themselves and their families. This is valuable seed. And when you farmed, you didn't just go out there and just start whipping seed everywhere or on the high. I mean, farmers don't do that nowadays. We even have some people from Nebraska here. They know, right? Got one on that side, two on this side. They know it. When you see a planter in the spring driving down the road, they don't start dropping their seed while they're on the highway and then wait until they get. No, it doesn't work that way. It was too valuable. The lesson we should learn here about God as the sower is that he is gracious. In other words, God's not just sowing his seed and his word of the kingdom on the good soil only, but on everything and on everybody. That's the gracious God we have. And what I think is interesting, too, is if you look at these four kinds of soils and you realize, okay, we are the soil here, and if we think of it as the most important thing, it's a problem here. Think of the disciples and how they related to Jesus for 3 years. They evidence all four types of soil. Number one, you have the soil that falls on the path. And Jesus says, well, that's when they receive the word and don't understand it. That's like 95% of the time. And I'm being gracious there, that the disciples had no clue what Jesus was talking about. The second soil falls on thin soil, right? And the seed falls on thin soil. And of course, when persecution comes, it falls apart. Look at the disciples on Holy Week. They didn't handle that too well. Jesus is arrested, and they all run away and hide for a few days. Then you have the soil that's sown in the soil that has thorns all around it and is choked by what? Jesus says, the anxieties of this world. Look how often the disciples evidence that. How much time did they spend trying to determine who was the most important of all the disciples? That's the worries of this world. Or even food, such a simple thing as bread. The disciples, like everybody back then, were fixated on that because there was never enough to eat. And so the disciples rightly were fixated on that, but not rightly after Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting men, women and children, and then fed 4,000 men, not counting women and children, with just a little bit of food. And to see how deep this anxiety was within them, then they get in the boat to go on the other side of the Sea of Galilee right after the feeding of the 4,000, and they realize they only brought a couple loaves of bread. They forgot all the leftovers back on shore. And they're all upset with each other. Jesus realizes what's happening, and he says what? Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. In other words, he's saying, beware the anxiety that chokes you to death, the things of this world. All the disciples hear is that he said the word yeast, so Jesus must be upset about the bread. Okay. So yes, they evidence all this. And one time that I can think of, they're good soil. Jesus says, tell me, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's one out of four, all right? And that's not very often. Let's face it, the disciples were bad soil. And the problem we face is we're bad soil too. And the question we have to ask ourselves, how do we change that? Well, I don't know much about farming, but I know that soil generally can't change itself. We're helpless to do that. I thought of a time where I felt kind of helpless. It was, several years back where I was in the emergency room again. And this time my whole arm was swelling up and turning all weird colors and stuff. And so they got a big needle out and tapped, you know, stuck it in the side of my wrist and pulled out a bunch of fluid. And they're walking away with it. And I said, you know, where are you taking that? Not like I wanted to keep it or anything, but they said, well, we're taking it to test it. And I said, test it for what? And so they listed off, for this and this and this and this. And sepsis. I'd heard that before, okay? And then they left me, and I sat there for 30 minutes by myself. Now, the problem with the 21st century emergency room visit is you have a lot of time on your hands, you have a working cell phone, and you usually know how to spell sepsis. So I had 30 minutes of looking that up, then making the mistake of pressing images, that kind of thing. And what really bothered me is the helpless feeling I had to know that there's nothing I could do about it. And in all likelihood, depending on how far it had gone, there's nothing the doctors can do about it. It was a helpless feeling. Well, that's a feeling we can easily have when we face this text. What we have to understand is God is the focus. And what God does, he does, for one thing, he doesn't expect the soil to change itself. Farmers in the Midwest do not walk out in the field prior to planting, point at the dirt, and say, be fruitful. And if you're not, try a little harder. It doesn't work that way. The only thing we can do at a time like that, and all the sower expects of us, God, is that we turn to Him. That we turn to the one who is, the one who sent His Son to die on a cross for our sin, the one who was our good shepherd, who finds the lost sheep and returns him home, the one who is the sower, who prepares the soil. He prepares our hearts to receive His word about the kingdom. And that is the only reason we're here today, is because God has done that. So a text like this shouldn't worry us. It should be, cause us to rejoice at the graciousness of this God who sends this His word of the kingdom to everybody, and the graciousness of this God to prepare us to receive it, to know that our sins are forgiven, to know that we have hope, to know that we have a sure and certain future. I pray that the Lord continue to give us that faith so at the good times and especially the bad times in our life, we turn to Him and know that He's always there. In Jesus' name, amen.